12. Hero. Unfortunately, we fixated upon Sadeus's plotting so much that we did not take note of the changed pattern of our enemies, the murderers of my husband, the true danger. I would like to know what wind brought about their sudden, inexplicable transformation. From the Journal of Navani Kolin, Yesesach, 1174.
Kaladin pressed the stone against the wall of the chasm, and it stuck there. All right, he said, stepping back. Rock jumped up and grabbed it, then dangled from the wall, bending legs below. His deep, bellowing laugh echoed in the chasm.
This time, he holds me!
Sigzil made a notation on his ledger.
Good. Keep hanging on, Rock.
For how long? Rock asked.
Until you fall.
Until I...
The large horn-eater frowned, hanging from the stone with both hands.
I do not like this experiment any longer.
Oh, don't whine, Kaladin said, folding his arms and leaning on the wall beside Rock. Spheres lit the chasm floor around them, with its vines, debris, and blooming plants. You're not dropping far.
It is not the drop, Rock complained. It is my arms. I am big man, you see.
So it's a good thing you have big arms to hold you.
It does not work that way, I think, Rock said, grunting. And a handhold is not good, and I...
The stone popped free, and Rock fell downward. Kaladin grabbed his arm, steadying him as he caught himself.
20 seconds, Sigzil said. Not very long.
I warned you, Kaladin said, picking up the fallen stone. It lasts longer if I use more stormlight.
I think we need a baseline, Sigzil said.
He fished in his pocket and pulled out a glowing diamond chip, the smallest denomination of sphere.
Take all of the stormlight from this. Put it into the stone. Then we'll hang Rock from that and see how long he takes to fall.
Rock groaned.
My poor arms.
Hey, Mancha, Lopin called from farther down the chasm. At least you've got two of them, eh?
The Herdasian was watching to make sure none of the new recruits somehow wandered over and saw what Kaladin was doing. It shouldn't happen, they were practicing several chasms over, but Kaladin wanted someone on guard.
Eventually they'll all know anyway, Kaladin thought, taking the chip from Sigzil. Isn't that what you promised, Syl? That you'd let yourself become a Radiant?
Kaladin drew in the chip's stormlight with a sharp intake of breath, then infused the light into the stone. He was getting better at that, drawing the stormlight into his hand, then using it like luminescent paint to coat the bottom of the rock. The stormlight soaked into the stone, and when he pressed it against the wall, it stayed there. Smoky tendrils of luminescence rose from the stone. "We probably don't need to make rock hang from it," Kaladin said. If you need a baseline, why not just use how long the stone remains there on its own?
Well, that's less fun, Sigzil said, but very well.
He continued to write numbers on his ledger. That would have made most of the other bridgemen uncomfortable. A man writing was seen as unmasculine, even blasphemous, though Sigzil was only writing glyphs. Today, fortunately, Kaladin had with him Sigzil, Rock, and Lopin, all foreigners from places with different rules. Herdaz was Vorin, technically, but they had their own brand of it, and Lopin didn't seem to mind a man riding.
So,
Rock said as they waited.
Storm-blessed leader, you said there was something else you could do, did you not?
Fly,
Lopin said from down the passage. I can't fly, Kaladin said dryly.
Walk on walls.
I tried that, Kaladin said. I nearly broke my head from the fall.
Ah, Goncho, Lopin said. No flying or walking on walls. I need to impress the women. I do not think sticking rocks to walls will be enough.
I think anyone would find that impressive, Sigzil said. It defies the laws of nature.
You do not know many Herdasian women, do you? Lopin asked, sighing. Really? I think we should try again on the flying. It will be the best.
There is something more, Kaladin said. Not flying, but still useful. I'm not certain I can replicate it. I've never done it consciously.
The shield,
Rock said, standing by the wall, staring up at the rock.
On the battlefield, when the Parshendi shot at us, the arrows hit your shield. All the arrows.
Yes, Kaladin said. We should test that, Sigzil said. We'll need a bow.
Spren, Rock said, pointing. They pulled the stone against the wall.
What? Sigzil said, scrambling over, squinting at the rock Kaladin had pressed against the wall. I don't see them.
Ah, Rock said. Then they do not wish to be seen.
He bowed his head toward them.
Apologies, Mafaliki.
Sigzil frowned, looking closer, holding up a sphere to light the area. Kaladin walked over and joined them. He could make out the tiny purple spren if he looked closely. They're there, Sig, Kaladin said.
Then why can't I see them?
It has to do with my abilities, Kaladin said, glancing at Syl, who sat on a cleft in the rock nearby, one leg draping over and swinging.
But Rock...
I am Aleiku,
Rock said, raising a hand to his breast.
Which means?
Sigzil asked impatiently.
That I can see these spren and you cannot.
Rock rested a hand on the smaller man's shoulder.
It's all right, friend. I do not blame you for being blind. Most lowlanders are. It is the air, you see. Makes your brains stop working right.
Sigzil frowned, but wrote down some notes while absently doing something with his fingers. Keeping track of the seconds? The rock finally popped off the wall, trailing a few final wisps of stormlight as it hit the ground.
Well over a minute, Sigzil said.
I counted 87 seconds.
He looked to the rest of them. We were supposed to be counting? Kaladin asked, glancing at Rock, who shrugged. Sigzil sighed.
91 seconds, Lopin called. You're welcome.
Sigzil sat down on a rock, ignoring a few finger bones peeking out of the moss beside him, and made some notations on his ledger. He scowled.
Ha!
Rock said, squatting down beside him.
You look like you have eaten bad eggs. What is problem?
I don't know what I'm doing, Rock, Sigzil said. My master taught me to ask questions and find precise answers. But how can I be precise? I would need a clock for the timing, but they are too expensive. Even if we had one, I don't know how to measure stormlight.
With chips, Kaladin said. The gemstones are precisely weighed before being encased in glass.
And can they all hold the same amount? Sigzil asked. We know that uncut gems hold less than cut ones. So is one that was cut better going to hold more? Plus, stormlight fades from a sphere over time. How many days has it been since that chip was infused, and how much light has it lost since then? Do they all lose the same amount at the same time? We know too little. I think perhaps I am wasting your time, sir.
It's not a waste, Lopin said, joining them.
The one-armed Hardasian yawned, sitting down on the rock by Sigzil, forcing the other man over a little.
We just need to be testing other things, eh?
Like what? Kaladin said.
Well, Goncho, Lopin said. Can you stick me to the wall?
I don't know, Kaladin said.
Seems like it would be good to know, eh?
Lopin stood up.
Shall we try?
Kaladin glanced at Sigzil, who shrugged. Kaladin drew in more stormlight. The raging tempest filled him, as if it were battering against his skin, a captive trying to find a way out. He drew the stormlight into his hand and pressed it against the wall, painting the stones with luminescence. Taking a deep breath, he picked up Lopin. The slender man was startlingly easy to lift, particularly with a measure of stormlight still inside Kaladin's veins. He pressed Lopin against the wall. When Kaladin dubiously stepped back, the Hardasian remained there, stuck to the stone by his uniform, which bunched up under his armpits. Lopin grinned.
It worked!
This thing could be useful,
Rock said, rubbing at his strangely cut horn-eater beard.
Yes, this is what we need to test. You are a soldier, Kaladin. Can you use this in combat?
Kaladin nodded slowly, a dozen possibilities popping into his head. What if his enemies ran across a pool of light he had put on the floor? Could he stop a wagon from rolling? Stick his spear to an enemy shield, then yank it from their hands?
How does it feel, Lopin? Rock asked. Does this thing hurt?
Nah, Lopin said, wiggling. I'm worried my coat will rip, or the buttons will snap. Oh, question for you. What did the one-armed Herdazian do to the man who stuck him to the wall?
Kaladin frowned.
I don't know. Nothing, Lopin said. The Herdazian was armless.
The slender man burst into laughter. Sigzel groaned, though Rock laughed. Syl had cocked her head, zipping over to Kaladin.
Was that a joke? She asked softly.
Yes, Kaladin said. A distinctly bad one.
Ah, don't say that, Lopin said, still chuckling. It's the best one I know. And trust me, I'm an expert on one-armed Herdazian jokes. Lopin, my mother always says, you must learn these to laugh before others do. Then you steal the laughter from them, and have it all for yourself. She is a very wise woman. I once brought her the head of a chul.
Kaladin blinked.
You... what?
Chul head, Lopin said. Very good to eat.
You are a strange man, Lopin, Kaladin said.
No, Rock said. They really are good. The head... he is best part of Chul.
I will trust you two on that, Kaladin said. Marginally. He reached up, taking Lopin by the arm as the stormlight holding him in place began to fade. Rock grabbed the man's waist, and they helped him down. All right, Kaladin said, instinctively checking the sky for the time, though he couldn't see the sun through the narrow chasm opening above. Let's experiment. Tempest stoked within him, Kaladin dashed across the chasm floor. His movement startled a group of frillblooms, which pulled in frantically like hands closing. Vines trembled on the walls and began to curl upward. Kaladin's feet splashed in stagnant water. He leaped over a mound of debris, trailing stormlight. He was filled with it, pounding with it. That made it easier to use. It wanted to flow. He pushed it into his spear. Ahead, Lopin, Rock, and Sigzel waited with practice spears. Though Lopin wasn't very good, the missing arm was a huge disadvantage, Rock made up for it. The large horn-eater would not fight Parshendi and would not kill, but had agreed to spar today in the name of experimentation. He fought very well, and Sigzel was acceptable with the spear. Together on the battlefield, the three bridgemen might once have given Kaladin trouble. Times changed. Kaladin tossed his spear sideways at Rock, surprising the horn-eater, who had raised his weapon to block. The stormlight made Kaladin's spear stick to Rock's, forming a cross. Rock cursed, trying to turn his spear around to strike, but in doing so, smacked himself on the side with Kaladin's spear. As Lopin's spear struck, Kaladin pushed it down easily with one hand, filling the tip with stormlight. The weapon hit the pile of refuse and stuck to the wooden bones. Sigzel's weapon came in, missing Kaladin's chest by a wide margin as he stepped aside. Kaladin nudged and infused the weapon with the flat of his hand, shoving it into Lopin's, which he'd just pulled out of the refuse, plastered with moss and bone. The two spears stuck together. Kaladin slipped between Rock and Sigzel, leaving the three of them in a jumbled mess, off balance and trying to disentangle their weapons. Kaladin smiled grimly, jogging down to the other end of the chasm. He picked up a spear, then turned, dancing from one foot to the other. The stormlight encouraged him to move. Standing still was practically impossible while holding so much.
Come on, come on, he thought.
The three others finally got their weapons apart as the stormlight ran out. They formed up to face him again. Kaladin dashed forward. In the dim light of the chasm, the glow of the smoke rising from him was strong enough to cast shadows that leaped and spun. He crashed through pools, the water cold on his unshod feet. He'd removed his boots. He wanted to feel the stone underneath him. This time, the three bridgemen set the butts of their spears on the ground, as if against a charge. Kaladin smiled, then grabbed the top of his spear, like theirs it was a practice one without a real spearhead, and infused it with stormlight. He slapped it against Rock's, intending to yank it out of the Horn-Eater's hands. Rock had other plans and hauled his spear back with a strength that took Kaladin by surprise. He nearly lost his grip. Lopin and Sigzil quickly moved to come at him from either side. Nice, Kaladin thought, proud. He'd taught them formations like that, showing them how to work together on the battlefield. As they drew close, Kaladin let go of his spear and stuck out his leg. The stormlight flowed out of his bare foot as easily as it did his hands, and he was able to swipe a large, glowing arc on the ground. Sigzil stepped in it and tripped, his foot sticking to the light. He tried to stab as he fell, but there was no force behind the blow. Kaladin slammed his weight against Lopin, whose strike was off-center. He shoved Lopin against the wall, then pulled back, leaving the Herdasian stuck to the stone, which Kaladin had infused in the heartbeat they'd been pressed together.
"Oh, not again!" Lopin said with a groan.
Sigzil had fallen face first in the water. Kaladin barely had time to smile before he noticed Rock swinging a log at his head. An entire log. How had Rock lifted that thing? Kaladin threw himself out of the way, rolling on the ground and scraping his hand as the log crashed against the floor of the chasm. Kaladin growled, stormlight passing between his teeth and rising into the air in front of him. He jumped onto Rock's log as the Horn-Eater tried to lift it again. Kaladin's landing slammed the wood back against the ground. He leaped toward Rock, and part of him wondered just what he was thinking, getting into a hand-to-hand fight with someone twice his weight. He slammed into the Horn-Eater, hurling them both to the ground. They rolled in the moss, Rock twisting to pin Kaladin's arms. The Horn-Eater obviously had training as a wrestler. Kaladin poured stormlight into the ground. It wouldn't affect or hamper him, he'd found. So, as they rolled, first Rock's arm stuck to the ground, then his side. The Horn-Eater kept fighting to get Kaladin into a hold. He almost had it, till Kaladin pushed with his legs, rolling both of them so Rock's other elbow touched the ground where it stuck. Kaladin tore away, gasping and puffing, losing most of his remaining stormlight as he coughed. He leaned up against the wall, mopping sweat from his face.
"Ha!"
Rock said, stuck to the ground, splayed with arms to the sides.
"I almost had you. Slippery as a fifth son you are."
"Storms, Rock," Kaladin said. "What I wouldn't do to get you on the battlefield. You're wasted as a cook."
"You don't like my food?" Rock asked, laughing. "I will have to try something with more grease. This thing will fit you. Grabbing you was like trying to keep my hands on a live lake fish, one that has been covered in butter, ha!"
Kaladin stepped up to him, squatting down.
"You're a warrior, Rock. I saw it in Teft, and you can say whatever you want, but I see it in you."
"I am wrong son to be soldier," Rock said stubbornly. "It is a thing of the Tuanalakina, the fourth son or below. Third son cannot be wasted in battle."
"Didn't stop you from throwing a tree at my head?"
"Was small tree," Rock said, "and very hard head."
Kaladin smiled, then reached down, touching the stormlight infused into the stone beneath Rock. He hadn't ever tried to take it back after using it in this way. Could he? He closed his eyes and breathed in, trying. Yes. Some of the tempest within him stoked again. When he opened his eyes, Rock was free. Kaladin hadn't been able to take it all back, but some. The rest was evaporating into the air. He took Rock by the hand, helping the larger man to his feet. Rock dusted himself off.
"That was embarrassing," Sigzil said as Kaladin walked over to free him, too. "It's like we're children. The Prime's own eyes have not seen such a shameful show."
"I have a very unfair advantage," Kaladin said, helping Sigzil to his feet. "Years of training as a soldier, a larger build than you. Oh, and the ability to emit stormlight from my fingers." He patted Sigzil on the shoulder. "You did well. This is just a test, like you wanted."
A more useful type of test, Kaladin thought.
"Sure," Lopin said from behind them, Just go ahead and leave the head daisy and stuck to the wall. The view here is wonderful. Oh, and is that slime running down my cheek? A fresh new look for the Lopin who cannot brush it away because, have I mentioned, his hand is stuck to the wall?
Kaladin smiled, walking over.
You were the one who asked me to stick you to a wall in the first place, Lopin. My other hand, Lopin said. The one that was cut off long ago, eaten by a fearsome beast. It is making a rude gesture towards you right now. I thought you would wish to know, so that you can prepare to be insulted.
He said it with the same lightheartedness with which he seemed to approach everything. He had even joined the bridge crew with a certain crazy eagerness. Kaladin let him down.
This thing, Rock said. It worked well.
Yes, Kaladin said. Though honestly, he probably could have dispatched the three men more easily just by using his spear and the extra speed and strength the Stormlight lent. He didn't know yet whether that was because he was unfamiliar with these new powers, but he did think that forcing himself to use them had put him in some awkward positions. Familiarity, he thought. I need to know these abilities as well as I know my spear. That meant practice. Lots of practice. Unfortunately, the best way to practice was to find someone who matched or bested you in skill, strength, and capacity. Considering what he could now do, that was going to be a tall order. The three others walked over to dig water skins from their packs, and Kaladin noticed a figure standing in the shadows a little ways down the chasm. Kaladin stood up, alarmed until Teft emerged in the light of their spheres.
I thought you were going to be on watch, Teft growled at Lopin.
Too busy being stuck to walls, Lopin said, raising his water skin. I thought you had a bunch of green vines to train.
Drahi has them in hand, Teft said, picking his way around some debris, joining Kaladin beside the chasm wall. I don't know if the lads told you, Kaladin, but bringing that lot down here broke them out of their shells somehow.
Kaladin nodded.
How did you get to know people so well? Teft asked.
It involves a lot of cutting them apart, Kaladin said, looking down at his hand, which he'd scraped while fighting Rock. The scrape was gone, Stormlight having healed the tears in his skin. Teft grunted, glancing back at Rock and the other two, who had broken out rations.
You ought to put Rock in charge of the new recruits. He won't fight. He just sparred with you, Teft said. So maybe he will with them. People like him more than me. I'm just going to screw this up.
You'll do a fine job, Teft. I won't have you saying otherwise. We have resources now. No more scrimping for every last sphere. You'll train those lads and you'll do it right. Teft sighed, but said no more.
You saw what I did? Aye, Teft said. We'll need to bring down the entire group of 20 if we want to give you a proper challenge.
That or find another person like myself, Kaladin said. Someone to spar with.
Aye,
Teft said again, nodding as if he hadn't considered that. There were 10 orders of knights, right? Kaladin asked. Do you know much of the others? Teft had been the first one to figure out what Kaladin could do. He'd known before Kaladin himself had.
Not much, Teft said with a grimace. I know the orders didn't always get along, despite what the official stories say. We'll need to see if we can find someone who knows more than I do. I kept away. And the people I knew who could tell us, they aren't around any longer.
If Teft had been in a doer mood before, this drove him down even further. He looked at the ground. He spoke of his past infrequently, but Kaladin was more and more certain that whoever these people had been, they were dead because of something Teft himself had done. What would you think if you heard that somebody wanted to refound the Knights Radiant? Kaladin said softly to Teft. Teft looked up sharply.
You?
Not me, Kaladin said, speaking carefully. Dalinar Kolin had let him listen in on the conference, and while Kaladin trusted Teft, there were certain expectations of silence that an officer was required to uphold. Dalinar is a light eyes, part of him whispered. He wouldn't think twice if he were revealing a secret you'd shared with him.
Not me, Kaladin repeated.
What if a king somewhere decided he wanted to gather a group of people and name them Knights Radiant?
I'd call him an idiot, Teft said. Now, the Radiants weren't what people say. They weren't traitors. They just weren't. But everyone is sure they betrayed us, and you're not going to change minds quickly. Not unless you can surge bind to quiet them.
Teft looked Kaladin up and down.
Are you going to do it, lad?
They'd hate me, wouldn't they? Kaladin said. He couldn't help noticing Syl, who walked through the air until she was close, studying him. For what the old Radiance did. He held up a hand to stop Teft's objection. What people think they did.
Aye, Teft said.
Syl folded her arms, giving Kaladin a look. You promised, that look said. We'll have to be careful about how we do it, then, Kaladin said. Go gather the new recruits. They've had enough practice down here for one day. Teft nodded, then jogged off to do as ordered. Kaladin gathered his spear and the spheres he'd set out to light the sparring, then waved to the other three. They packed up their things and began the hike back out.
So you're going to do it, Syl said, landing on his shoulder.
I want to practice more first, Kaladin said. And get used to the idea.
It will be fine, Kaladin.
No, it will be hard. People will hate me, and even if they don't, I'll be set apart from them. Separated. I've accepted that as my lot, though. I'll deal with it.
Even in Bridge Four, Moash was the only one who didn't treat Kaladin like some mythological savior herald. Him, and maybe Rock. Still, the other bridgemen hadn't reacted with the fear he'd once worried about. They might idolize him, but they did not isolate him. It was good enough. They reached the rope ladder before Teft and the Greenbinds, but there was no reason to wait. Kaladin climbed up out of the muggy chasm onto the plateau just east of the war camps. It felt so strange to be able to carry his spear and money out of the chasm. Indeed, the soldiers guarding the approach to Dalinar's war camp didn't pester him. Instead, they saluted and stood up straight. It was as crisp a salute as he'd ever gotten, as crisp as the ones given to a general.
They seem proud of you, Syl said. They don't even know you, but they're proud of you.
They're dark eyes, Kaladin said, saluting back. Probably men who were fighting on the tower when Sadeas betrayed them.
Stormblessed, one of them called. Have you heard the news?
Curse the one who told them that nickname, Kaladin thought, as Rock and the other two caught up to him.
No, Kaladin called. What news? A hero has come to the Shattered Plains, the soldier yelled back. He's going to meet with Bright Lord Colin. Perhaps support him. It's a good sign. Might help calm things down around here.
What's this? Rock called back. Who?
The soldier said a name. Kaladin's heart became ice. He nearly lost his spear from numb fingers, and then he took off running. He didn't heed Rock's cry behind him, didn't stop to let the others catch up with him. He dashed through the camp, running toward Dalinar's command complex at its center. He didn't want to believe when he saw the banner hanging in the air above a group of soldiers, probably matched by a much larger group outside the war camp. Kaladin passed them, drawing cries and stares, questions if something was wrong. He finally stumbled to a stop outside the short set of steps into Dalinar's bunkered complex of stone buildings. There, standing in front, the Blackthorn clasped hands with a tall man. Square-faced and dignified, the newcomer wore a pristine uniform. He laughed, then embraced Dalinar.
Old friend, he said. It's been too long.
Too long by far, Dalinar agreed. I'm glad you finally made your way here after years of promises. I've heard you even found yourself a shard blade.
Yes,
the newcomer said, pulling back and holding his hand to the side.
Taken from an assassin who dared try to kill me on the field of battle.
The blade appeared. Kaladin stared at the silvery weapon.
Etched along its length, the blade was shaped to look like flames in motion, and to Kaladin it seemed that the weapon was stained red. Names flooded his mind. Dalet, Korib, Rish, a squad before time, from another life. Men Kaladin had loved. He looked up and forced himself to see the face of the newcomer. A man Kaladin hated. Hated beyond any other. A man he had once worshipped. High Lord Amaram. The man who had stolen Kaladin's shard blade, branded his forehead, and sold him into slavery. The end of part 1.